Lord. Amen. It is so good to be the glory of God in this place. I just offer all the praise to the Lord Jesus for the worship set. Oh, I was shaking in the presence of God. We're in the presence of God. Honey, pray for me, please. I know you do every day. Stand up and pray for me, please.
Lord, thank you for being able to come into
yes, Lord.
Today. We thank you for all your blessings that you pour out onto us every day. I ask that you will fill my husband with your words, with your the mind that you have, pour your words into his heart so that he can preach your words to us. Let us all be tuned in to hear what you have to say through my husband. And bless him in the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name, amen. And all of God's people said, amen. Well, I'm taking some liberty today. If you will turn in your Bibles to Deuteronomy 32. And we will read verses 10 through 12. Deuteronomy 32, verses 10 through 12. When you get there, say amen. So this is a song that Moses spoke in the assembly of Israel. And in beginning of verse 10, he says, he provided for them in the desert, in the thirst of heat in a waterless place, he encircled them. He instructed them. He guarded him carefully as the apple of his eye. As an eagle covers its nest, yearns after its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its back. So the Lord alone led them. There was no foreign God with them. So as an eagle covers its nest, yearns after its young, spreading out its wings, taking them up, carrying them on its back, so the Lord led them as an eagle. If you want to put a title to this sermon, and I know, forgive me, Bishop, I know you don't really like titles, but here it is. Don't die in your nest. Everybody say that. Don't die in your nest. The bald eagle, of course, as we know, is a symbol of America. And from the tip of one wing to the tip of another wing is 9 feet. Anywhere from 8 3/4 to 9 feet. The eagle has tremendous eyesight. The eye of an eagle is the same size as our eye. Yet the eagle can see at a distance 10 times that which a human being, which has 20/20 vision, can see. So they can see upwards of 10 to 15 miles clearly. The eagle mates in the air. The eagle flies to 10,000 feet. It covers an area of about 10,000 square acres. And it can see a mate 10 to 12 miles away. And during the mating season, they'll soar to 10,000 feet. They lock talons and they free fall until they let go. Usually sometimes it's been known that they've actually hit the ground, get back up, and fly. But at some point in time, they lock talons and they free fall from 10,000 feet. And it's in that imagery that an eagle flies where no other birds can go. You see, an eagle will never cross breed with a chicken. An eagle goes where no other birds go. Eagles train their young very uniquely. You see, their young are trained and they're in a high place. The moment they first open their eyes, they realize they're in a high place. Our life, when it begins, begins in a high place. Amen. Our life, when we begin in the mind of God, He knew you before you were in your mother's womb from the foundation of the world, your life has begun in a high place. The eagle trains its young specifically because they're in a high place. The eagle's nest is a collection of branches, and branches about this big. I was going to call down and have someone build one, but you wouldn't have enough time, because the average nest weighs about 1 ton, 2,000 pounds. And the branches are about this big. And the mother takes, which is the mother bald eagle is about 34 to 36 inches with a 9-foot wingspan. So it spends a lot of time picking up branches because the nest ends up being about 5 to 7 feet tall. And of course, it's about 7 feet in circumference. And it weighs about 1 ton. And so the mother takes these sticks from all the 10,000 square acreage that she flies over, and she gathers all these sticks. And she puts them together and she lays them in such a way that the nest starts to form. So the one thing that we learn is the mother's story is in the nest. The mother's story is in the nest. And so as she begins to build this nest, the eaglets that are born to this nesting pair that mate for life, as they are born, they don't get to pick their parents. Many of us, anybody here, ever got to choose your parents? No, we don't get to choose our parents. The eaglets don't get to choose their families. And yet there's differences in all of our families. My side of the family, even in the family that God has blessed me with, there's great diversity. You know, I'm a little bit crazy. My wife is very quiet, which is a good thing. On my side of the family, we're all very boisterous and outspoken. My brother, I always have to tell him, you think my voice is loud, I always have to say, Tim, shh, shh, because he starts talking, he's in the backyard, and everybody's hearing everything he's saying. And so there's differences in family. Everything we learn through association. We learn from our family. We learn from those we work with. We learn from those we fellowship with. We learn from those who are in our daily lives. So everything that makes up our nest, we learn from association. And yet there's differences in that nest. But all our thoughts, all our opinions, those things that we hold dear, those things that we dislike, are formed in the nest. The nest of where we are raised. It's all in the nest. A nest is a blessing that keeps away the wolves and the mountain lions. We can all thank mom and dad for keeping away the wolves and the mountain lions, especially when you have a daughter who's 21 years old. I keep telling them, I've got a big sword. I got one not as big as that, but I got a sword. But point being is that everything that we do is formed in the nest. We can thank God for mom and dad and all of those things that they trained and gave to us in the nest. We were telling funny stories last night at the bishops. Funny stories from the nest in raising up Woody and Luke. So the eagle lays these branches. And they're, as I said, they're significant branches. Enough so that after building it, the nest weighs 2 tons. And so during this time, as she lays, it's very significant because there's no protrusions from the end of the sticks that go in the nest. All the protrusions of how the sticks are laid are all facing out. There's nothing that's facing in. And so the eggs are hatched in a comfortable place. The mother takes it down from its coat, and the father does, and they coat the nest with their down, the underlying feathers, the ones that are coming out. They pluck them out and put them in the nest. And they put strips of bark. So the eggs are placed in a comfortable place. A high place, a comfortable place. And the eggs are hatched in that cushy, comfortable place. And the vision of those eagles is from that high and cushy place. That high place. My vision, their vision, is from the nest they are born in. They're born in that high place. I see it all through the nest. I came from the nest that I was born in. So in 35 days, the eaglets are born. And as I said, the mother begins to fly and bring these eaglets food because they're voracious eaters. I mean, they don't even look like eagles. I'm sure you've all seen the pictures of these down-covered eagles that don't even look like an eagle. And yet, the mother flies and begins to bring food. And so the feeding and the seeing and the early development, the sleeping, is all in the nest. And so as they grow very, very quickly, and as they continue to develop, and as that transformation begins, and they begin to move from being something that doesn't look like an eagle to what its exact purpose is, and what it looks like, that development begins in the nest. But you can never stay in your nest, because what a nest is initially as a blessing, if you stay in your nest, it will become a curse. Are you with me? You can't stay in your nest, because what was a blessing will become a curse. It will become a prison, a place that is narrow, a place that is too small, a place that is not good. You see, a person who's not good, used to the dynamics of a good marriage, depending on where they've come from and the nest and those things that have impacted them, they can be in a place where they think violence is a good thing in a marriage. They don't have any perspective because of their nest. You never get married without seeing the nest. And if you are, that's important to know, is that you never get married without seeing the nest. So the nest is important. But as the Lord says, as an eagle covers its nest, yearns for its young, spreading out its legs, taking them up, carrying them on its back, so there's a time When the eaglets get to a certain size, that the mother stirs the nest. The mother takes those branches, removes the down, takes out all the bark, and starts rearranging the branches. So that what was on the outside, those protrusions that kept away the lions and those predators, the mother stirs the nest, so those protrusions are now on the inside. And so the eaglets, who are now almost full grown, they'll have a wingspan of about 6 feet, 6.5, growing very quickly. Voracious eaters. That system that made them comfortable is now uncomfortable. Those protrusions are in the net. What was familiar has now become unfamiliar. Those protrusions are invading my space. I'm not comfortable more. I got to move. I got to get out. I got to move. I can't stay in the nest any longer. I got to move. I can't. I mean, you really? Really? But it's comfortable in here. It's familiar in here. I don't want to move. I can't move. I can't get over these walls. It's familiar. Do I have to really? It's a system. Hey, I got a system. I have my thoughts and I have my opinions. I have a way. It's normal. It's familiar. But now the nest has become uncomfortable. I got to get out. I got to get out, but I don't want to. I want to stay in that which is familiar. The protrusions that once gave me a safe place have now made an uncomfortable place. I can't, you know what? It doesn't matter what I do. I come over here and, oh, I come over here, no. I come over here, no, it's uncomfortable. God, what are you doing? You've made my nest uncomfortable. I have my opinions. I have Fox TV. I have CNN, the Communist News Network, as we call it in Canada. I have my tribes who think the same as I do. So that's why I watch Fox News. The problem with America, the problem with Canada, is we're all joining into tribes after CNN and Fox News. You see, because we're building nests that are familiar with our opinions and our way. But God is stirring the nest. The protrusions are now on the inside. The protrusions that made it safe are on the inside. You see, the eaglets are facing eviction. The eaglets are facing the fact that they're going to have to leave home. That familiar place. I'm not comfortable anymore. I don't want to move. I've relied on this familiar place. God, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, I need to pray. The demonic is after me. The accuser of the brethren. He's making this. Oh, God, take him out. And God says, I can't take out myself. Because the eagle is stirring the nest. God is stirring the nest. God is making things uncomfortable. Has God ever stirred your nest? Is God stirring your nest? Is it time to get out? Is it time to begin to move in the way that God wants us to move? You see, the eagle has stirred the nest. God is stirring our nest. The teacher who came and said to Jesus, Lord, what must I do to follow you? And Jesus said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Jesus was all stirred up. Jesus went to Samaria. Jesus was after the one. Jesus was after the one command life of his Father. God said, go. He was a man on fire. Jesus was stirred up. I'm all stirred up. You can't die in your nest. You can't die in your nest. I want to rest, but something just keeps pushing me. Something, you're just like, nowhere I go. It's just, God, you're everywhere. I can't hide. I go up high, you're there. I go down to the bottom, but you're there. God is stirring the nest. You can't stay where you were. You can't stay where you were. You can never stay where you were. I rest in God's stirring. God is stirring our nest. We're in a nest stirring season. Whenever you have good teaching, and I'm telling you, in the center of revival, you got good teaching coming out of this place. And God is stirring the nest. He's making things uncomfortable. So it's not a hex, it's not a demon, it's not the accuser of the brethren. It's God stirring the nest. He stirred the nest. You can't die in your nest. You see, what allows us to stay in that comfortable place, that place where we begin to try and languish. But we can't languish because those protrusions, the lead of the Holy Spirit, keeps taking and grabbing hold of our heart and saying, come, come. And then finally we get to a place where we say, okay, it's uncomfortable. I can't take this anymore. I gotta get out. I gotta get out. But then the eagle, as he begins, the eaglet. You see, eagles build their nests in high places. And the reason why they build their nests in high places is that, and it's usually in a very remote cliff, an area just big enough for a one-ton nest. The reason why they build a nest in that area is so that the eaglets can't build another nest by the nest they've come out of. We can't build a nest close to the one, our spiritual nest, that says, well, I've done it like this for 30 years. Whoopity-doo-dah. God is stirring the nest. But now the eagle. I gotta get out. 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 I can't stay in the nest. It'll become a prison, a curse. I gotta get out. But God, what are you doing? Get out of the nest, son. I'm taking you out of the nest. Don't die in the nest. So the eagle finds itself in a high place on the edge. But as the eagle comes out, he goes, oh, what's this? I got this. But I'm in a high, oh, but I got this. Oh, I got two. Whoa, they're big. They're big. You see, I'm on the edge. I'm out of the nest. I got these. A wing-spreading season. We're in a wing-spreading season. I can't go back. But the accuser of the brethren keeps saying, oh, you can't do that. You've tried that so many times. You're a failure. But thank the Lord, the voice of the Holy Spirit is so much louder. It says, when the accuser says, oh, come back to the nest. Come back to the nest. I can't go back. I'm on the edge. I gotta fly. I gotta fly. I got these wings. I can't die in my history. I gotta live in my destiny. I gotta live in my destiny. I gotta fly. I gotta fly. I gotta fly. I gotta fly. I gotta soar. I'm gonna soar. I'm gonna soar. I got 9 feet of glory. I gotta soar. I got 9 feet of glory. 9 feet of glory. And I'm going to fly. And I'm going to fly. You got to get out of your nest. Your destiny is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Say it with me, church. My destiny is to love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. The eagle has stirred the nest. The eagle has stirred the nest. We can't stay in the comfortable, the familiar. Just because we did it that way for 30 years. Well, that's good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Get over it. We've come into a new time. A Holy Ghost time. Early rain. Latter rain. And the rain is symbolic, prophetic of another thing. Where we begin to get the early rain. Holy Ghost baptism. You can't stay in your nest. See, the mother eagle flies. Joel 2:23. The food that is good for you, it says. The food that is good for you begins with the early rain. Where does that begin? Holy baptism. The holy mysteries. You see, Jesus, whoever eats of me, I am the living bread. Jesus, a man who was stirred up, was stirring up his disciples. He was breaking it down. He was killing the nest. He was stirring the nest. Get out! I am the living bread. And what happened? Many of his disciples walked with him no more. Because they wouldn't get out of the nest. They didn't want to use these. And soar in the Holy Spirit. The early rain. They didn't want the mighty deeds of God. They didn't want the glory. They didn't want His presence. They wanted to kill the presence. Because they were dying in their nest. You cannot die in your nest. You're on the edge. You're on the edge. The wheat and the wine. Joel 2:23 and 24. Holy Eucharist. Holy Eucharist. He's given us the holy mysteries to get out of the nest. And the last one, the oil. The oil of Joel 2:24. What is that? That's the Holy Spirit. But what is it that allows that curtain, that veil that God sees behind? He says, I know you love me. I can see it. I know you are. I've vindicated you. I've given you my Holy Spirit. I want to give you the latter rain. Get out of your nest. Don't die in your nest. And how we stay in our new nest and soar with the eagles. How we soar with the eagles is through the oil that comes and pours into our soul when we confess our sins. Sacrament of reconciliation. The way I tell you I got free and became a wild man for Jesus is a sacrament of reconciliation. I was just like Ruth. I'm an idolater. I'm a Moabite. And I want everybody to know it. Because here's the one thing I got. Forgiveness and the love of God who loved me before the foundation of the world. I got out of my nest. I didn't stay in my emotions and my junk and all the stuff that keeps us from soaring. And soaring and raising up. Do you know that when an eagle first flies, it's on the edge. It's like, it doesn't know what to do with these things. And it's like they're all uncoordinated. They've never stretched them. Because they've been in a narrow place. So they fly. They fly off. And immediately, guess what they do? They start free falling. Do you ever wonder why the parents mate free falling? Because what the mother does, it will, on a free-falling eaglet, it swoops down and lifts it back up and carries it to the edge. And the eaglet will do it again. See, it becomes crazy because it trusts in that which will come under and raise it back up. When we have faith, when we rest in those holy mysteries, we begin it with holy baptism. When we experience God's presence, His glory, His purposes in the Holy Eucharist, the wheat and the wine, and we begin to experience that personal revival, personal renewal, corporate renewal in the early rain and latter rain. So we maintain that veil being opened and our undistracted eyes, our dove eyes, the sacrament of holy reconciliation. God comes. God comes and just like wipes it clean. And so that veil is held open a little longer. And we ravage God. The jealous God. The zealous God. And says, go, I'm going to lift you up. I want you to go here. I know you don't want to do it. I know you don't know how. I don't know how you're going to go to Mount Helmet. I don't know. But don't worry, I'm going to swoop down and lift you up. Because I've come to a high place. And I'm jumping off in the glory of God to the glory of His holy name. You can't die in your nest. You can't die in your history. You got to live in your destiny. And your destiny is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And that's the word of revival. And the revival that's being underpinned, raised up in Holy Eucharist and the Sacrament of Reconciliation. You got junk? Go rat it out! Tell on the devil! Tell on the accuser! Let the light shine! Let the light shine! Get free! Get out of the nest! God wants to destroy those remnants of the enemy. And sometimes, Spirit-filled, some of the greatest revivals came out of the confessional. You realize that? Say, Jean Vianney couldn't preach with a stick. Couldn't pass Greek or Hebrew, one of them. Great man of God. God gave him Spirit-filled revelation. So when people came to confession, he said, okay, you're forgiven. Now tell me the rest. And they got free. They got out of the nest. And got filled with the early rain again. And the latter rain came. And the great deeds of God. I have not given you a spirit of fear, but love. Love. Love! Claim it from the rooftops. God loves me! Believe it! Believe it! There's nothing that you can do to tick off the Lord Jesus. He may not be happy with you and what you're doing, but you can't make Him stop loving you. You gotta get out of the nest. Don't die in the nest. Don't die in the nest. Church, say with me, I can't die in the nest. I can't die in the nest. I can't die in the nest. Glory to God. Do you know that when an eagle dies, it flies to the highest elevation possible, around 10,000 feet, because that's where they soar with the wind. With the wind. That's where we soar with the wind of the Holy Spirit. We soar at 10,000 feet. You see, we were born in a high place, and through the sacrament of holy baptism, God brings us up to the high place. In the latter and the early rain. So the eagle flies 10,000 feet and finds the highest cliff, the highest piece of rock that it can possibly reach. It sucks all the strength that's remaining and flies to that point. And when it gets there, it lands. And its claws or talons, now, they sink them into the rock, into the crevice. the very crevice. Their talons go right in. And then it sits up and it stares into the sun. That's a prophetic picture. Our claws, our life, our hearts sunk into the rock, Jesus. And our eyes so fixed on Him, so fixed on Him, that He will do all those things, and we will see His presence, His glory, and His mighty deeds. And that heart that loves Him, that veil open a little longer, that zealous God will come and do what we cannot think, imagine, or see, to the glory of His name. Amen.